Nagatomi, a tranquil city in the northern reaches of Hokkaido, Japan, 1974. Local resident Yoshiro Fujiwara is abruptly awakened not by the familiar sounds of his quaint farm, but by an uninvited guest from the stars. Soon, tales of levitation, psychic phenomena, and interstellar journeys would ripple through the community. As whispers turned to shouts, the nation found itself ensnared by tales of bipedal octopus dwarves and otherworldly voyages. Was this the result of an overactive imagination or a genuine encounter from beyond our world? As news of his encounter spread, skeptics and believers alike were drawn into the enigma. This case file joined the theorists as they journey beyond the familiar, diving into the heart of another of Japan's cosmic mysteries in the Kitami Invaders.
Welcome to what's hello and what's welcome in Japanese, Dan?
Ohayo,
irashimasen.
You should do the intro.
That's how they say it when that's what they say when you go into the 7-Eleven. Irashimasen.
welcome.
keep doing that.
Welcome to Aryan Theorist Theorizing Case File 288, the Kitami Invaders. I'm bleeding.
I'm Zach.
I'm Dan. I was waiting for you just to say I'm racist, but that's fine.
Why? I met a girl and that's how she said my name. All the time, I loved it. She called me Bladen. I've told that story on the podcast.
Better name.
It's a better name.
You should just
I'm pretty sure there are people that do name their children way better. Bladen, but
no, she was. I can't remember.
Her name was Bladen. That's way cooler.
Yeah, but she'd say hello, Bladen, and I'd go. I love that name, Bladen. It's way better. And then everyone called me Bladen for a while.
And then it switched to Craig.
You started calling yourself Bladen, just like Dragon.
No. People up north were a little racist. I think that's why they just continued it on. But
that's probably accurate.
It's funny, like in a little segue, it's like, because I remember when I lived in Thailand for a while, and it's like, because it's a tonal language, like you could be like, you get a cab or something to like, you'd want to go to Bayok Tower. And you'd be like, hello, cabbie, can you please drive me to Bayok Tower? And they'd go, huh? What? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And you're like, shit, Bayok Tower? And they're like, huh? And you're like, Bayok Tower? And they're like, huh? But if you go, can you drive me to Bayok Tower? They're like, oh yeah, Bayok Tower! And you're like, okay, there we go. We're on our way. And same with our like street. It was like Tan On Chan, Yi Seep Jet. But if I said it like that, no one knew at all what you were talking about. But you'd have to be like, Tan On Chan, Yi Seep Jet. And they'd be like, oh yeah, here. Away you go. It's like, and you're like, I'm saying the same shit. I just feel like I'm being a little more racist with it. And now they get it. And it's the same thing when I remember helping other tourists that were like having language barrier issues, and you'd go in and you'd like talk like how they talk, and then they'd understand. And then people like look at you and you're like, yeah, I just live here. I know. I like, you're saying it weird for them.
I know the ins and outs.
Yeah. So if you haven't guessed already, we're going overseas with this one. The Kitami Invaders.
Kitami. It
goes by a couple different names. Kitami.
Kitami, the Space Invaders.
The Nikoro incident, the Fujiwara UFO abduction.
The Great Alien Sorcerer.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least one person calls it that.
At least one.
Yeah, Zell.
In this room.
I always love the Japanese ones. They've always all the case files we've done that go over.
That Suicide Forest was something else.
Yeah.
I feel like you just want to believe them too, because you're like, oh, they're such serious people. They wouldn't lie. Nothing's
so
made
polite.
Up.
Like honorable.
They would never lie.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because like the accounts, like when you read this one, if you're hashtag looking it up, there's like Japanese articles that you can translate. And it's like everything, you know, reads a little differently depending on which article you read. It'll like, you know, and once we get into it, we'll kind of point out the varying degrees of changes in this story. But it's quite an interesting one, you know, because allegedly Yoshiro Fujiwara is MIA, missing person. No one knows where he is, where his whereabouts are today.
Shit. Yeah, perhaps he resides now among the stars with his fated visitors from that fateful night on April 6th, 1974 at 3 a.m. in Kitami, Hokkaido, which is in northern Japan. Like a 28-year-old Yoshiro Fujiwara was sleeping peacefully in his bed. Now, Fujiwara was he was just like a normal farmer guy, apparently. He's like, was just very easy, very nondescript life as a farmer. It's not necessarily anything kind of seemingly special, just your everyday kind of farmer guy.
Yeah, it's really the classic tale of like, you know, peasant son turns chosen one.
Yoshiro did have a guard dog, or he had a dog.
Well, he's a farmer.
He owned.
He's got to have a dog.
Yeah,
he's a farmer. He's got to
have a dog. Keep your crop safe, right? And apparently, he was woken at 3 a.m. these early wee hours by the dog just going wild, barking. You know, in a series of distressing barks, which you just like, okay, well, guard dog's doing his job, so I better go check it out.
Yeah, what's going on down there?
As he gets up out of bed and he's going towards the door, there is a rapid series of knocks that come at the door.
which is like, so when you think about it, like,
it's almost like something's knocking with eight arms.
Like, when you think about it, the guy works, he lives on a farm. He's got a guard dog for a reason. There's probably other animals and shit like that about randomly. But this guy, like this farm is very isolated. There's not really any other houses or anything like that around this. So for there to be like a fucking knock on the door at the same time,
I think his closest neighbors are like, they're like 2 kilometers away or something. Like you said, they're like almost like five.
So to be having like a random knock on the door, 3 a.m. fucking witching hour on top of the dog barking.
Dude, dog wakes you up. Your dog wakes up barking like a psycho. And then you get up to get out of bed to go check out what it is. And as you're going to the door, you hear knocking at the door.
You just lock it. Uh-oh.
Dan, have you been to Japan?
Yes.
How many places have those like traditional like paper style walls? Not a lot.
I haven't been to a lot of I didn't spend a lot of time in like Japanese residences. Oh, but, okay. Like,
in the city, I'd imagine.
Dan was only in the strip bar and
the robot bar. That's where Dan was.
Yeah, robot bar.
Maid cafes.
Yeah. Just because I was wondering how annoying that would be with pets. Like you just have a dog that's just fucking bulldozing through your interior walls, or like a cat, you're like, oh, this is shredded.
As Yoshiro opened up the door carefully, he sees outside standing on his porch a short 3-foot-tall bulbous headed creature, seemed to be the originator of these knocks on his door. From Yoshiro's description of this creature, it seemed to be wearing something like the bottom half of its body was kind of human shaped. I guess it had tiny, like a like bottom appendages that resembled legs.
It had some kind of legs.
Yeah, like
legs and feet.
Yeah,
right. So the stuff that it was standing on, and it seemed to be wearing like some kind of vinyl outfit, like some kind of a clothing that covered its body. Now, from his descriptions and illustrations of this creature that was standing on his porch, when you see these things, it looks like a kind of weird combination starfish octopus person. If anybody's seen the movie, the Italian classic Octoman, horror classic Octoman, it kind of looks like that.
What came to my mind instantly was fucking Krang. This is Krang.
Yeah. No, except, like Krang with like little feet, I guess.
I gotta
like legs.
Before I share this, I got to make sure I'm not getting any fucking ridiculous pop-up ads here.
Toe fungus.
Don't check. Just show.
So this is
toe fungus again.
Yep.
Is that a urinal? What is that?
I don't know what that is. What is that?
What is that?
Is that a suction cup urinal?
That's a good question.
Click on it. All right, we're going on a deep dive here. What is what is this thing? Oh, it's a soap box with a drain. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Smart.
Okay. Okay.
This makes sense. All right.
Interesting.
Bookmark that for later.
Save to cart.
Yeah, so this weird creature is standing there on the on his porch, and like Yoshiro gets a pretty good look at this thing. So besides the vinyl outfit it's wearing another article of clothing or equipment, I suppose, on top of its little head, its little bulbous head. So it's got like some kind of bluish conical helmet, which apparently there are like antenna, which are emerging from the top of it out of it. And these antenna had some kind of elliptical discs on them.
Reiki stones, I heard.
Oh, shit. Yeah. And then they were...
what's a Reiki stone?
Reiki healing.
Just a crystal.
Well, like, crystal.
Crystal
magic
stones.
Healing crystals.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Magic.
Magic.
Charging in the moonlight. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, apparently there were little bursts of like electricity or some type of energy that were coruscating down the over the antennas and like down the helmet or something. So something was kind of going on up there, I suppose. And this... this octopoidal creature, it had eyes. So it had these eyes. He was looking at it, and Yoshiro kind of interpreted these eyes as being kind of menacing looking. They kind of slanted inwards.
I thought you were about to say seductive.
No.
Well, I mean, why else is it knocking on his door at 3 a.m.? Let's be honest
late
here.
Booty call.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
up? And so, yeah, like, I guess. The way that the creatures, I guess it had nostrils, so it had orifices, so it had like some type of V-shaped nostrils, so that came down.
Easy, and then,
and then it also apparently had a mouth of some type, and it seemed to be to Yoshiro. It's a weird description that he says that it appeared to be grinning, like when it was looking at him. So like it had some kind of.
He just teamed this one up.
He's just like sitting there, shit,
now,
baby.
Now I guess
3 foot puts him at a very convenient height.
Like the outside of the creature seemed to be covered in like a kind of a toad, like it seemed to display like a toad like texture is what he was saying. It's kind of like a little ripped, bulbousy little kind of things like that
for his pleasure.
Yeah.
And so this, but also, yeah, it apparently was covered in some type of slime.
Come on, buddy. You're trying to get us megalithically hard here? This description?
Too late.
Holy, we should have X-rated this.
A disclaimer at the start of the episode.
All these sexy descriptions. Holy. Caseball 288, sliming with Dan.
Oh. Yeah, so this after hours will be Brayden acting out his narrating his fan fiction of this encounter.
Yeah.
XXX rated for sure.
All the after hours, I'm going to tell you what I would have done.
What he wanted to do. So this creature and Yoshiro, I guess, like they lock gazes for a hot second. And then before Yoshiro can like slam the door as a normal person would, this creature apparently pointed upwards with one of its appendages and its hand or kind of the end of its tentacle started glowing in orange.
Are you
color.
Purposely doing all these sexual innuendos here with one of, we don't know which appendage, but one was pointing to the sky.
One was pointing that's straight up.
It says mostly.
Went from 6 to midnight, baby. And it was goat time.
The descriptions from this encounter mostly like I mean, as I was reading through them, I'm like, okay, it says like its hand pointed upwards, and I'm like, okay, which one? It's if it's an octopus, got like 8 of them. If it's a starfish, it's got like at least 4. So I'm like, which one went up? Like
they all did.
You know, so you know, yeah, you could just use your imagination to fill it in. What's going on here? So according to the descriptions and interviews that Yoshiro gave, post encounters, it's that some
type of orange glowing light seemed to emanate from the appendage that was pointing up towards the sky. So then the entire house then very like within, you know, a millisecond or something is it enveloped with this very hot orange light. Now,
and the dark dimmed.
Mr.
And the
Yashiro,
house exploded into flames.
No.
As the alien being cast fireball.
So apparently Yashiro, understandably terrified,
did not roll a 15 dexterity saving throw, and he was incinerated instantly.
End of the case file. All right.
Critical one.
Moving on. That's the end. House burned down.
Dead.
He's dead. No, Mr. Yoshio retreated into the house, slamming the door, where he said he kind of like got to his bedroom, the safest place he could probably think of. And then he was able to kind of observe outside the window of kind of what was going on. So this light is still kind of pouring in through the windows of his house. And as he looks outside, he observes floating above his house what he describes as a large 8-meter disc-shaped flying saucer that seems to be... is what is emanating or emitting this orange colored beam that is like covering his entire house. And according to him, like it was about 70 feet off the ground, kind of above his house, and then just kind of like shining this light down on it. Now, within a few seconds of him observing this and then kind of looking out his window, Yoshiro said that he found himself being pulled upwards, you know, against gravity, you know, just kind of being pulled up and then floated through the air towards his window. And I guess it doesn't just really describe, like he's not really sure at this point, or there's not really a clear idea of like how he got outside of his house, but
I thought they pulled him through the window.
Whatever, this force. Yeah, yeah, so I think like I think it's style. Kind of implied that he's pulled through the window. Yeah.
So, or, you know. Just,
and then absorbed into the craft.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it said.
That's what makes me think it's so like one of them fleshy crafts. You know, it's not like made of metal or anything. It's just like
I like to think that he got suction cut, like he hit the side of the craft. He's like, like stuck to it. And then all of a sudden he just kind of like,
goes
through. And he's like, where the hell am I on the other side? Now, an interesting thing I thought about this, like where we at or the story is there's kind of a varying account of the introduction here that I thought was interesting. Cause when I first read the first article about this and it talked about the dog, I was like, I really want to know. I was like, what kind of dog? Cause I was like, I feel like this kind of creature standing that tall is like, chew toy, like you open the door, your dog's gonna go nuts, right? Like on something like this. There was another account that I read on a Japanese website that I translated using Google. Not very, like, doesn't translate the best. But when I was reading that one, the intro said that in the morning, same time, he just heard noises in his foyer, came downstairs to see these things, door open, they're already in his foyer. And he's like, freezes, turns, books it back upstairs to try to get to his bedroom, slams the bedroom door, sees that the light's emitting everywhere. And as he goes to look at the light, he's just pulled out of the window, right? So there's like a varying account of what happened. And that one doesn't include a dog whatsoever. And then he's pulled out of the craft exactly the same and absorbed through the walls of this craft.
All right. So the craft doesn't display any types of like openings. Of course, it's not really, it doesn't seem of any type of human make or even made for humans. So yeah, he's absorbed through the craft, or like it opens, like something opens up and pulls him in through there. And then when that occurs, Yoshiro says that he fell unconscious at that point, kind of blanked out when he's being pulled into the craft. When he awoke, apparently he found himself lying on what he believed was the floor of the saucer, and that there was a he was surrounded pretty much with bright lights, he's just saying. And then there was some type of, he said, it's described as some kind of noxious smell. And then the comparison that they draw is to the smell in a dingy locker room is what it smells like.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know the smell. Sour ass.
Far too well.
Like fucking old man balls on the fucking counter while they're shaving.
Just sour, bitter, sour ass.
So as Yashiro, you know, comes to his senses and then takes account of his surroundings, he describes that he saw several aliens. So other that, you know, all of the same kind of, all the same species or whatever they are at various like stations around the room. Either fucking they were
Captain Kirk sitting in the middle in the chair, fucking Spock banging away on the keys, fucking
something like that. I think they weren't necessarily the ones that he observed on kind of the outside. Like those ones weren't really paying attention to him, or like were only paying him like a cursory glance or two. But there were actually two closer that were actually seemed to be observing him. Now, after his kind of his initial shock, Yoshiro said that he kind of tried to push himself up from the floor, but these creatures kind of rushed forward and managed to hold him down.
Yeah, well, if they're like, imagine they got like octopus suckers, they just jump on your legs and stuff and then suction the floor. They're like, they just, get him, boys. And you're just stuck. You're like, oh, no.
Yeah, according to Yashiro, like these things, like he did not expect them to be as strong as they were, you know, on account of how small they are. These things are only like 3 feet tall, but apparently they were enough to hold him. A 28-year-old farmer guy, I would imagine he's like, you know, he's not strong. Farm boy.
I don't know how strong octopus are, but like I'm pretty confident, like even a small, like a great Pacific octopus would fuck you up if it got a hold of you. Like you would have a really huge, hard time.
Like a human-sized octopus would be not fun.
That'd be a problem.
This one's like 3 feet tall. Like, yeah, you'd have big problems.
That'd be a problem.
Trying to fuck with these things. Especially if they have suckers. Like, could you imagine that? You looked like you had that therapy on your back, you know, where they put the fucking
the cup. Cupping therapy.
Yeah. Cupping's great.
All over your body. Yeah. You know what that is? You know what that is? That cupping, you know, it's only popped up in the last how many years where it's really hit mainstream? They're just prepping us for the octopi invasion. The octopuses, right? That's what everyone's going to look like when you get these, when these things, right? So it's everyone's just getting used to those marks. It's just, it's slow disclosure is what it is.
So as terrified as he already is, Yashiro said that these creatures, as they're holding him down, are actually trying to calm him by
fucking forcing him down on the ground with their suction cups.
And then mentally shushing him.
That seems to be
don't make it worse for yourself.
Recalls. So they're communicating with him while this is happening, and Yashiro says that they had to have been, because I guess their mouths weren't moving. They didn't seem to be issuing forth any type of like
just nonstop. Audible. They're still just grinning.
they're not issuing audible commands because they seem to be telepathically directly with his mind.
I like the idea of these octopus starfish looking things are like. They don't have mouths, but they're like, humans have mouths, and it would probably make them feel good if we had a smile. So they're all just like...
Yeah, drawn on smiles.
Frozen smile. Grinning
it's
man
interesting
style.
That they,
as they're telepathically talking to you.
It's interesting that they pick like starfish, because isn't there lots of like kaiju monsters that look like starfishes too?
So 1974, I would say this is probably 1974, the third iteration of the Kamen Rider series actually released this year. So it's like they have a, you know, giant late, they're familiar, most Japanese, with, you know, kaiju rubber latex monsters. So I don't know whether he thought somebody was shooting, a tokusatsu, series out on his lawn or something like that. But I, going back now that I think about it, it's like it always seems really strange that aliens like knock on the door, like
that's why that account of it, like the English article's account, I'm like, why would they knock? Whereas if you read one of the Japanese articles, it's like the noise was already inside his foyer, and I'm like, well, that makes sense to me, because why would these things, they're like, oh, we know the human, like, oh, hello. Because why would they knock on a door?
Is to knock on the door.
They would fucking knock on anywhere. Like if their idea was to knock, they'd be like on the side of your house, just like, because they would have no fucking frame of reference of like, this is a human custom.
Well, how do you know? That part, buddy, they made it all the way to Earth. Do you think maybe this is not their first time and they've actually spent some time exploring and looking at the customs and shit like that and prepared for their kidnapping?
Okay, all right. No, that's a fair point. But here's the thing. If they've studied enough to know the customs, they would fucking manically knocking on the door is not acceptable by anyone.
They only got one here. No. Not just that, but it's like that is the customary human greeting is like knocking on the door. There's nothing customary about opening up your door to somebody knocking and then seeing a 3-foot octopus starfish
with
man
a smile
on your porch. Like there's a smile.
Yeah, there's okay.
They're telling them in training, they're like, remember, humans love a big smile. Yeah.
Literally though, like that's a calming presence for the most part. That is something you think that they would teach, being like, make sure you smile. It makes humans feel better.
Yeah, but I don't think any human would react in a very friendly manner to having something knock. It's like, oh, he was so polite. Like, I had to let him in. Would you like some tea, Mr. Octopus Alien Man?
They're just
like,
so excited to make first contact. They're like,
you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah. There you go.
And apparently these ones.
Hey, listen, aliens are just as excited to fuck us. All right?
It's the ultimate conquest for them.
Yeah, we've already talked about that Earth is the extraterrestrial sexual playground of the galaxy. Yeah. You know this now. Well, they must have not studied that hard because usually it's traditional. If you're going to visit somebody new in their house, then you're going to bring them a gift in Japan.
I mean, he brought a gift.
He was given gifts later. We're gonna get into
This is true, man.
So maybe they brushed up a little bit more, familiarized herself with.
Well, buddy's fucking running away the whole time.
that's trying to give him a gift. Why would an alien knock on the door? Why would you knock on the door? It just seems weird.
Yeah, if you're gonna knock on the door, then suck him through the window. Just seems.
I agree with Brayden. It's like if Brayden's Japanese account, like if that's more accurate or whatever, and that noise was already inside the house, that makes a lot of sense. Some of these other reports, like if they're second or third hand, and they said that there's knocking on the door,
you're trying to make peaceful contact from the get go. This entire plan is to make peaceful contact with a human. Okay, how the fuck are you gonna get them out of their house? What are you going to zip the fucking top off and be like, hey, buddy, what's up? Just checking in, you know, like, you want to come for a ride?
I would also think that they would check, like, you know, if they've studied us that much and they'd be like, hey, the normal time for humans to be awake is during the day, not 3 in the morning.
He's a farmer, so I bet she's probably up in fucking half an hour. Right?
Yep.
Like, yeah,
3:34.
We're just too excited to wait. More importantly, do you think they walk or do they cartwheel?
Cartwheel.
They would be like,
that's a good question. I'm picturing cartwheel.
Me too.
I'm picturing nonstop buzzsaw cartwheel.
They just roll around like that.
Yeah.
Back to where he is. Yoshiro is now currently being held down by these aliens aboard the ship. He says that he starts receiving what he interprets as telepathic messages that are coming from these aliens, and that he, inside his mind, speaking directly to him, he gets the idea, or you know, the language, kind of the message forms in his mind, that quote, no danger, we promise to release you close to your house, is what forms in his head. So that these aliens seem to be trying to reassure him that they're not here to hurt him. He's not in any danger, and they will let him go near his home, after whatever is going on. So Yoshiro doesn't really give a fuck at this point, and apparently that he kind of manages to overpower his restrainers.
He goes Super Saiyan at least 2 here.
Right. You know, he and so he manages to push the creatures away and distance himself enough that he gets a running start, and he runs blindly through an open hatch, a random open hatch.
With no thought about his own safety.
No, I love it.
He just launches out an open hatch.
I love it because he's like, I would rather jump to my death. And then fortunately, he just a 10-foot drop just fucking hits the ground.
Ugh. Which is not.
That's like, not insignificant. That's a big drop to land on your back.
Like, it would not be fun, but like, yeah, you're just the fact that you're like this UFO that he said, apparently when he saw it over his house is like
70 feet
up. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to go full send out this hatch. I have no idea where it's going. It's just going to the outside and whoosh, and then you fall 10 feet and hit the ground. Like, not fun. But
I imagine in this state of like heightened absolute fear of what's going on and what's transpiring, I don't even know if you really I'm going to die if I jump out. It's just escape.
I just wonder if he's like, giving one of those like those really like wordless cries that you know you scream out like as you're about like he's like I don't care like I'm probably gonna die, so he just jumps out like screaming, and then you only fall 10 feet and you're like boom.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Oh, okay.
Just knocks the wind out of you.
Yeah, you're like expecting to die or fall, you know, to your death, and then it's like 10 feet boom, and you're like oh. Okay.
Yeah, like gather, pick yourself up and you're like, oh shit, all right, I gotta go now.
All right. So Yashiro, manages to recover his gets up from hitting from that 10 foot, that, you know, deadly 10 foot fall.
You can break bones from the ship. 10 foot?
You could do some damage.
You're definitely sore. Yeah. Like even if you landed like flat and your stomach.
Well, I mean, he's 28. Like, he bounces.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, more or less, he's uninjured because he is able to sprint from the hovering craft that's still glowing orange, apparently, to the nearby house of his neighbors.
It wouldn't matter. Your adrenaline would probably be pumping so much that you wouldn't even know. You'd be like up and just darting.
So I guess he made it to his neighbors. His neighbors who were like I said before, I think they were like
sprinted 2K.
Yeah, like you just, you know, I guess it's just, yeah, you're packed full of adrenaline and fear. Like you're booking it.
Running. Here's the thing. If you're by your house, by yourself in this house, and you've just got sucked through your window, it's like, you wouldn't think of that as like, okay, well, I'm going to go in my house because that's a safe place. You're like, I'm by myself. They just sucked me out of the fucking window. I need help. Like I need someone else here to help me. So I'm going to lead them to my neighbor's house, as we all do. Hopefully they'll take them instead.
He was able to make to his neighbor's house, and he is, visibly shaken, as is reported, I think, by his neighbors, that they kind of, but, you know, them being neighbors and friendly people, they kind of took him in and kind of calmed him down, and then he was able to return home. But little to, Yashiro, unknown to him, the encounter was not quite finished because he developed some strange symptoms after his encounter, which we'll get to right after the break.
After this break, we'll be right back.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
We're back. We were just talking about Fujiwara potentially getting some mythical powers.
His mutant starfish powers, encounter. More like it.
Yeah.
Yashiro is fortunate enough to escape his octopuses.
How about captors?
Yeah, his octoprison.
Wow. That's a good sci-fi movie title. Trademark. That's how it works. copyright. As he escapes from captivity of the of his octopus captors, and he's to make it to his neighbors and return
for
home.
Anyone for the next when we do 300, we do our callback episode, and people are making trivia questions. Someone should make a question of name all the things that are trademarked by us by saying trademark. Because I feel like we say like within every 10, we probably trademark two or three things.
It's like two pages of like heavy metal band names. Yeah. Like,
trademarked.
Trademarked. After he returns home, less than 24 hours later, Yoshiro reported that he started feeling these blast, like these blooms of pain, excruciating pain in his ears and like in between his ears and in his head, right?
Yeah, almost like he fell out of a craft.
Yeah, no shit. Straight onto his head. Ground,
and now the adrenaline's worn off and he's like, holy fuck. He smoked his concussion. Head off the ground. And yeah, these are he's like,
he just like went head first into the fucking ground when he like fucking leaped out of there.
Radioactive by some fucking orange hot light through a fucking window. Yeah, you might feel a little worse for wear the next day, I imagine.
And not only is he feeling this pain, this white hot pain inside of his head, he's also experiencing an intense burning sensation in his fingertips, is what he said.
He's got some nerve pain now. He's got some neuropathy from a head injury. Like, that's fucking dragging.
So Yoshiro reported that he fell into a kind of unconscious trance-like state.
Also common with head injuries.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then
that's a true. You just where you're just like you kind of like I've had them where you like you all of a sudden you're sitting there you're like it feels like you're time jumping when you have a bad concussion you get rocked really hard. It feels like you're time jumping. You'll be one place and you'll be like, whoa, how did I get here? What is happening? Okay, I think this is weird.
Not my beautiful and then house.
Something will snap and all of a sudden you're somewhere else and you're like, whoa. Something's wrong. You're just like moving through time, but consciously you're not. Like I have no recollection of what I did between the moments where I'm in control. Jesus just takes the wheel. And then you're like that's when you hit your head hard.
Jesus.
You get weird shit like that. So it's like, yeah, this kind of does line up well with bonking your head if you fell out, especially if you fucking fell on your head.
Well, in addition to him having symptoms similar to that would resemble a traumatic head injury, he also said that he started to have the irresistible compulsion to start drawing. So he had to get like a piece of paper and he had to get a drawing utensil and he started to pen out these strange, incomprehensible hieroglyphs, like some kind of language is what he said.
This lines up with that. What's that other case where the guy's in the woods and he sees the craft and he touches it? And then he just like...
Is that Rendlesham?
That's Rendlesham.
Is it Rendlesham? Rendlesham?
It gets and he burned just, into his memory.
Yeah, and right. He just writes, he's like, I don't know what these mean, but I can't help writing them.
But as he pens these out and he's trying to look, he's looking at these hieroglyphs that he can't understand what they said. He said that he receives simultaneously a telepathic message that's clear to him, saying, quote, when the disc lands on the mountain, you will come and board by yourself.
Like, that's interesting because the hieroglyph thing, like Rendlesham UFO happened in 1980. And that description of this hieroglyph stuff, to me, I would go like, if this was nowadays and that, like say, you know, this one happened in 2018 and, you know, Rendlesham happened in 2023, I would say this guy probably heard about this one and it, you know, he's copied some of the details. But like in 1974, 1980, like this story didn't make worldwide rounds at the time. Like, you know what I mean? The Rendlesham UFO case, they probably didn't know these details. So it's just an interesting fact that you're like, okay, here's another one where these beings or whatever have imprinted, be like this compulsion to draw hieroglyphs.
Now, after he receives this message, Yoshiro decides to go ahead and follow the orders that it gave him. So on April...
What? So what?
Yeah. So about 2 days later, on the 8th, I don't think it gave him a specific time, but he just kind of took off to To the closest mountain.
I wonder if he just figured these people are, going to pull me out of my house either way, so I might as well just.
You also skipped this after he drew all the drawings. He went, sat down for a bowl of cereal, and he tried to go scoop the Fruit Loops into his mouth, and he just kept bending the spoon with his mind, and the Fruit Loops would drop out, and he's like, "What the hell? I can bend spoons."
So some reports, have that happening before, and then some of those reports have that happening after. What comes next?
One of the ones I read was that he did it first. He was just like, "Ah, like it scared him," and that kind of. He was like, "Well, now I have to go because I can do these things."
Yeah, fuck it. I'll be like, "Yeah, no, I'm gonna bend these motherfuckers. Interested. Let's go."
And I kind of thought that was interesting because now you're like, you can do these things. You have all of a sudden you have like minor telekinesis powers to bend spoons.
Minor telekinetic powers. Well, he's bending spoons.
Yeah.
What's minor about that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, I mean, in the, like, you know, could you bend anything else? Like, could you, you know,
bend could you pull the metal right from the planet itself?
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, are you
how strong are we talking
here? You know, yeah. He's probably like, all right, well, I want to go because I want to see, are they going to unlock more powers for me? Like, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, that makes more sense. About 2 days later, Yoshio takes off with two friends who remain unidentified to this day to the nearby.
How the fuck did he convince these people to come with him? And why?
He's like, "You guys, you see this spoon?"
Yeah.
Bent. What, like, they're like, "Shit, all right, coming."
Oh, okay, so he's got a crew?
Yeah. But the thing is like, so
they're going to see? Like,
It's not clear how much he reveals to them and like where they're going. Like they might think they're going to like, I don't know,
hunting. Andrew, we've gotten you into the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
Right? To play barely. Fucking, you know what I mean? But it's like one of those things like, "Hey."
Yeah, but if you would have told me some fucking voice popped into your head and told you to go in, I'd be like, "Get fucked."
Maybe he told them something innocuous. Like, yeah, he's like, "Hey, we're going to go fishing. Like, we're going to go get something, I don't know, mushroom hunting. I don't know.
Oh, I got something to show you guys. I got something to show you guys. Come to this mountain."
Yeah.
What is it?
Maybe he's thinking he's going to fucking...
See, man. Trust me.
Maybe he's thinking he's going to bend these guys for his sacrificial lambs for these fucking aliens. Because,
imagine if I came to, like, if I called, like, you boys up and I was like, "Hey, listen, 8 o'clock, I'm coming to pick you guys up." And you're like, "Where are we going?" I'm like, "I got to show you something up in the mountains." So you're like, "What is it?" You're like, "You got to see it to believe it."
We're getting murdered.
You're like, "Are you going to be naked?"
No. He's finally
trying
snapped.
To take me to the mountains. Fuck that shit. You think about the fight I'd put up if you're like, "Man, we'll go to the mountains today."
Yeah, nah, man. We're going to the woods.
Yeah, I got stuff to do.
I'm busy.
Got to find a babysitter and shit. Like, no.
I don't got time for that.
I got time for that.
So Yoshiro is still conscious of the message saying that he needs to go alone. So these two friends arrive with him at the Nikoro Mountain at around 6:30 PM. And then like, he just leaves them there. Wait here basically. And then apparently he ascends the peak alone. So he goes up towards the top of the mountain. So he starts climbing the mountain by himself, which is kind of weird. It's like, "Yeah, can you guys just wait here?" Like, "Wait, you brought us all the way." I'd be pissed. Number one, like, "Wait, you brought us all the way out here. We ignored all the warning signs that you're probably going to murder us, but we came out here anyways. And now you're just going to leave us here?"
Stupid.
Like, wait a minute. It's like, "We're going to the top of that mountain and we're getting murdered. God damn it."
Like, what the?
So as he, you know, ascended the mountain, or he got to a certain thing up there, it said that he was picked up. He met the UFO. They were true to their word and they picked him up a second time. And this time, he didn't yeet himself out of the porthole. They actually took him into space this time, as I guess they're now on good terms because Yoshiro's got psychic powers. Like, "Well, I guess you guys are pretty cool. So, I imagine too,
like if you're receiving like imagine you're just like getting someone's in your head, like, "Hey, don't worry." You're like, "Who's that in my head?" And like after like a day of like talking, you would probably have some sort of conversation with this voice in your head. You wouldn't just constantly be like, like, I imagine like you would be, you'd like talk too. So it's like, maybe if you're like, "Okay, like, all right, we're a little bit familiar now. We've talked. I'm feeling a little more comfortable about your
Either that shapes. Or I need to be in a fucking asylum.
Yeah.
So either or.
I mean, I could bend spoons. I mean, well, maybe he feels a little bit more in control now that he can bend spoons. He's like, I see the spoon. I'll bend you like I bend this spoon if you fuck me over. And they're just shaking their heads. They're just like, what the fuck? The creatures take him and treat him to a tour of, you know, an hour and a half, a tight 90 minute guided tour of near space. So apparently they flew.
Took him on a magic spaceship ride.
Yeah, they took him out around the moon. They did one full orbit around the moon, and then they came back and they did around Earth twice, I guess. A couple near solar system donuts, I suppose, and they're
just sweet, a couple quick ride. Loops. Yeah,
you know, they're like, we'll show you what drifting really is like.
They're nudging asteroids out of orbit.
Yeah.
That one's gonna hit Earth now in 10,000 years.
after this trip, I mean, I guess it. You know, I could kind of chalk this up to being something, maybe it's like a byproduct of the telepathic communication. And it's like, because when they return him back to Earth, they take him back to the mountain where they picked him up from, apparently. And then Yoshiro reports that he fell down, like he just collapsed, exhausted or, kind of blacked out. And so I could theorize that it's
the
like,
powers are draining, man.
Well, it's like maybe his mind isn't. Yeah, well, your mind isn't used to it's. It's like when you speak another language, right? When you speak another language that's not native to you, you know, you get that.
I always faint.
You get tired. Yeah.
No, but like, he just traveled in fucking space like that. We don't know how a human body can fucking withstand their fucking technology. So it's like his body's probably fucked.
And all this, and now you're like, we're not alone. I've just orbited the moon. It's probably so overwhelming.
He also probably cut out the details of the story where he got fucking probed up the ass, and it wasn't good.
This is, again, just a shaved ape, like us. He's just like ascended to like another level of just like existence. You're just like, oh, it's too much to process.
And so, yeah, he collapsed there and he made his way back down the mountain after he regained consciousness. And then, now between this and there's another, because like a couple, like a week later, he was on the evening of the 13th, he was abducted again, according to Yoshiro. Oh, and this time they actually took him like farther out, I guess. They were like, okay, the first time that was just a tease. Now comes the real stuff because we're going to take you way out there.
We're going to the Oort cloud, baby.
So this time not only did they fly to him to the moon, they also took him to Jupiter.
They went and sail around the stars. What are the lyrics?
Yeah.
I want to see what summer is on Jupiter and Mars. Wait, this is just a fucking song. That's literally like the lyrics of the song. It's like, I want to see what summer is like on Jupiter and Mars. Because they say it took them to Mars too. Like they passed Mars and Jupiter. What the fuck? Yeah, this is just the fucking Frank Sinatra song. God damn it. Anyways. They took him out here. Now, reports kind of vary depending on which account that you read. But he was actually given a souvenir on this trip, you know? So it's like, it's not just like, you know, so people will believe me. Because we've seen this kind of activity before with other abduction cases where people said that they, you know, who do we talk to where they, like, she wanted the book or something. They were showing her like a book and she's like, can I keep this book? Can I keep this literature for later? Okay. You know, can I get your newsletter? But he wanted something or, you know, they could tell, I mean, they're telepathic. So maybe they're like, hey, you know what? Well, you know, being the gracious,
she's leaving. Hey kid.
Yeah. being the gracious octopus host that they are, they say, you know, they decide that, oh no, we'll give you a gift, something to, you know, a little trinket that you can take with you. So some accounts say that they gave him a stone and it's kind of named the Jupiter stone. They call it like the Jupiter stone. And it's like a stone from Jupiter. But, you know, as some people point out, no, it might've been an inaccurate report because it's like Jupiter is a gas giant. So it wouldn't have rocks.
Well, and one of the Japanese articles that I read that translated, it did make it sound like he was maybe on one of the moons, looking at Jupiter, and that rock was from one of the moons, which right. does line up with, you know, stuff we've talked about, Titan Europa maybe being
right. habitable. And that's another report that I read says that the craft actually landed on Saturn's moon Titan, and that's where they got the stone from.
Yeah.
But either or, apparently one of the creatures stepped outside the craft.
You got it from Titan. So this could be an infinity stone.
Could be.
Yeah.
For sake.
Yeah. It's reality stone for sure.
Jesus.
So one of the creatures apparently stepped outside the craft, went out there, and I guess found the perfect rock. Cause I don't know. You're like, yeah, he'll like this one, you know?
Yeah. Stupid monkey.
here, shiny rock. Ooh, you know? So, and so they go ahead and give it to Yoshiro as a gift and, everlasting octopoid friendship, I suppose. Yeah. Now, after this, you know, this journey, Yoshiro in
no, they're like otters. Like, these octopuses are like otters, and the one that made love to him gave him a precious stone. It's like weird, always together. It's like otters.
apparently, in later interviews with like some Japanese like UFO magazines or something like that, Yoshiro said that after this journey, his telepathic powers grew much stronger. So he went beyond just, you know, the minor telekinetic parlor trick of just bending spoons, but he actually said that he could teleport instantaneous transmission, and to planets beyond our own solar system.
It wasn't instantaneous. I mean, there was some time where we don't know what happened when he teleported, where he went, because he said, you know, he could go 250 miles in 6 minutes. And I'm like,
250 million, million light years. Million light years, not miles, million light years.
In 6 minutes. Yes. And I was like, in my head, I was like, what happens to you in the...
He's going through a quantum tunnel.
It takes time to disassemble yourself. You have to like,
Maybe
the transmission
is Japan. All he has to do is touch his forehead. They're highly advanced. He's got to touch his forehead like this and boom, transmission.
The Yardette instant transmission.
Instant transmission. Man,
like, boom. Oh, you know what these guys do? They look like the Yardettes. Like their little bulbous heads and like little weird stuff. Yeah.
There you go.
This is what the Yardette race from Dragon Ball Z is based on.
Dragon Ball is a documentary.
Absolutely.
Now, so after these claims of him saying that he's able to, instantly teleport himself to these different planets outside of our solar system, apparently he's also granted access, is what he said, to three, if not more, UFOs. Yeah. Like they are put at his disposal. In an interview, I guess he's quoted as saying,
he's got the day-to-day commuter, right? He's got the luxury long, and then he's got the sports.
It's the sports one, off-road, you know, four quantum drive, I guess, 4x4 quantum drive. He has these three UFOs. He's quoted as saying, I have three UFOs for activities, and I usually hide the barrier in the mountain of Hidaka.
The mountain of Hidaka.
So he like hides the, like interpreting that is like he hides the UFOs there. Now these UFOs, like specifically he was using them. I think he mentioned, he's like, I'm using these for good. I guess he's not, you know, he doesn't have any, world domination intentions, it seems, that he said that he used these UFOs abilities, which allowed him to stop volcanic eruptions. Oh.
Dope.
Where because these UFOs allowed him, or by remote, telekinetic,
it's like some sort of trans medium where it could just pass through.
He would travel inside hollow earth or, you know, tunnels inside the earth, and he was able to redirect the flows of magma in the volcanoes, and therefore like he would stuff rocks into the magma channels with these UFOs and then redirect the flow of magma, therefore keeping the preventing what could possibly
diverting
be
the pressure of the potential devastating volcano.
He basically turns into Captain Planet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Is there an episode where he does that? I know there's an animated Superman where Superman does that too, but like
So he's now using this technology four.
Right. So he's got the, I mean, it sounds cool. It sounds neat. You got these UFOs flying in through the earth and then zipping around through these underground tunnels in order to redirect magma flows and stuff like that. Sounds pretty rad. Sounds pretty cool. You know, he's doing the
Octo Jesus' work. He's doing the Lord's work. Yeah.
Lord Octo Jesus' work. To try and substantiate his claims, remember, Yoshiro was presented with this Saturn stone or Jupiter stone that he had gotten from the thing. So he did not waste any time getting that to some scientists who could verify that it was from Titan. So he gave it to some scientists at the laboratory of the University of Studies of Engineering of Kitami and gave it to them so they could tell him, yes, you have been to Titan. You are the chosen one, mm-hmm. I suppose. And you are Captain Planet now. Now they, according to reports, these, the scientists ran their normal, I guess, standard gamut of, identification techniques on this thing. So probably spectra analysis and all this, and also X-rayed it. But to their, what they reported was that this stone just seemed to be local stalactite made of limestone that is native to the caves near Kitami,
now,
where he is from.
where
Yoshiro is from.
Let's just say hypothetically, if you were to unbelievably get a stone from, say, Titan or Europa, where it's habitable, like he says, like say it's there, right? And you bring it back to Earth and say this, would a scientist be like, well, this is just a rock because it has the same buildings that we know of a rock here? Like, they don't have a base of comparison to really compare it to a rock in Titan, right? So like, wouldn't that make sense that he's like, if it's a stone, he's like, yeah, it's a stone from here.
And like, they could be like, I mean, if they picked up a rock from one of the caves, like, look, this is the limestone stalactite. Like, this is the composition.
It fits right here.
Well, yeah, they'd be like, I mean, you look at it as a specific composition and they'd be like, okay, this composition meets this composition. So either Titan is made of exactly the same stuff from this cave, from which these stalactites in these caves, which it could be.
Could be.
And he says there's a barrier, or, so maybe that barrier is like a, you know, like a cave where he transports like instantly to a cave in Titan or Europa, wherever he was. Maybe. I'm just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
It could be, yeah. I mean, yeah. Anything's possible.
But like the interesting thing about like it's not like this. Sort of, he went to people. There's professional. There's other people in the communities that like during the time claimed to see bright lights. Some claiming it was, you know, they saw an object that was as bright as the moon. Right.
Yeah, I think there was at least one middle school age girl who said that she reported not seeing the UFO directly, but like Braden said, she reported seeing some type of light that kind of woke her up or illuminated the night that was brighter than it was a second light source that was definitely not
there. Hear me out. Okay. Everything tracks for a bit. Everything's like, okay, this is a bizarre situation. Sounds like a normal abduction story. Things get a little bit crazy. You notice when things get a little bit weird and kind of like this whole thing is very unbelievable to begin with, right? It's extraordinary, but it gets a little fucking crazy. But you want to know when it starts getting a little crazy? When he fucking turfs himself out of a fucking spaceship onto his head. So it's like, maybe he actually was abducted, fell out of this thing, had a massive fucking head injury. And then things just get even more fucking crazy after that because he's fucking brain injured.
That's an interesting thought is that, but he's having these delusions based on an event that happened to him.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's interesting. But where is he now? Because like he's dealt with people. So obviously people know this guy.
According to one last thing is that, you know, with all of these cool abilities and powers that he's granted, apparently with great power, as we know, great responsibility, he claims that he was accepted as the earthly representative for the Summon Call Space Union, or SAM Call for short. Is what he's apparently said.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So, he had to fulfill the duties of the earthly representative for Summon Call Space Union. I'm not sure what that is. Like, yeah, file reports or something. I'm not sure.
Do you get SAM Call out of Summon Call? Wouldn't it be Sum Call?
It's SAM Call. I don't know. It's
a Japanese translation.
Probably
some kind of
something. Yeah. But yeah, it's like I said, I was like, if you got to file a report, it must be really easy doing it telepathically, you know, save a lot of paper. And yeah. Just like,
it's true.
Just, okay. Yeah. Be nice. It's okay. Redirected magma today at da 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 da. Took coffee break at Osaka.
But like,
do you get reimbursed after, for fuel? Like for
yeah, it's right off, hashtag write offs.
Yeah.
Okay. Like after taking this position, you know, he seemingly, as of 1995, vanishes off the face of the earth.
He's probably back on Titan. No one
knows his whereabouts, what happens to him. He's seemingly just gone.
He fought Thanos and lost.
Right? Yeah.
He's part of the snap. So,
the rumor is that he's left for space and he's now traversing the stars because no one knows this person's whereabouts. What happened to him? There's no record of him, of what, if he died, they can't find anything. So the rumors are running wild that he's now, you know, fighting those intergalactic battles. He's probably
part of Solar Water. No, he's a Green Lantern now.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. He's what are we, 2713? What's our sector? 27 something?
Yeah. There's probably more pressing issues in the galaxy that he's got to. But you know, that's the interesting thing is that this, you know, a lot of these people then that have these claims and stuff, you can track, you kind of see where they are, if they've died, what they've done after the fact. And this guy is just seemingly like, boop, and that's
sector 2814.
And for these like absolute unbelievable claims, it's just kind of, it adds that like that level of like, well, that's interesting. Unless he's locked up in some sort of asylum. Like Andrew said, because it does, that is a good point. Like it does, it's, you know, a pretty traumatic abduction story.
Well, I wonder if he had to appoint a proxy before he left. Like, you know, who's going to be the earthly representative now?
Well, like, I actually think that maybe, because, you know, you talked about him fainting. I do think now that Andrew, you really... I think he convinced me on that theory. I think this was a really, really traumatic experience, as it would be for any of us. You see one of these things, you get sucked through your house and you take this fall and you have a head injury now based on the last thing that happened is this huge traumatic event. So now you have like PTSD, really bad head injury. You know, maybe this is a recipe for, you know, delusions of grandeur after the fact. And then everything after the fact is him just trying to piece together why this happened to me. Why me? Because he would maybe think of this event as ruining his life at that point. And it had to be for
Screen
a reason.
Screen Lantern.
Right? Except the fact that his Dark friends, there's like accounts of his friends bringing him to the mountains and then like other people finding him like in the snow and shit. I don't know. It's a really weird
No, think about it. He's Green Lantern because it's like, oh, he can bend stuff. He uses his will to like affect the things. The UFOs are just creations. He hides them behind a barrier. He just like it pictures them and manifests them from his willpower. Yeah. He's fucking Green Lantern, dude.
But then just like, no, like you think you'd be like, there'd be some sort of paper trail of like when he died or he went to an ascent. It's just like someone did make these kind of claims and then just like no one can track, like no one knows where he is. It's like,
well, we know to where me, he is.
That's an interesting fact. Yeah, space. The final frontier. That's interesting.
Oh, with the Guardians.
It's terrifying. It's a really interesting account of aliens too. Like we don't normally see those kind of descriptions.
Krangs. Right? You definitely don't get the cool telekinetic abilities. Usually it's like crappy stuff. Like it's
yeah.
You don't get nobody gets UFOs at the end most of the time. Get rad. I mean, this makes it sound pretty rad. You're just like, oh, okay. Like, I mean, this is very, you know, you got to see what summer was like on Jupiter and Mars. You got a freaking sweet telekinetic powers and some sweet UFOs out of the deal. Like,
well, because and it's like it's one of those ones where it's like if that were to happen to you, you come back to Earth and you tell anyone, hey, I got abducted and they took me to Jupiter and Mars, and they're like, yeah, you're like, okay,
okay.
I got this rock. Yeah. It took me to Jupiter and Saturn and all I got was a shitty rock.
Like, I'm telling you right now, me as a believer in UFOs and aliens, if I was walking down the street and someone was like, I got abducted last night and they took me to Jupiter and Mars, I'd be like, get away from me. I don't have any chance.
Especially when they say it like you do, like a pervert. Like, I went to Jupiter and Mars.
You want to see? The aliens, they were covered in slime. The orifice is everywhere. Okay, buddy.
I just want to get into the bank. Interesting. No, really, really interesting case file. Any other thoughts?
This might be the first one we've seen a guy get superpowers from abduction. So
this is just, yeah, so
yeah, it's like that is
first person to get like best cool, case scenario cool out of a shitty scenario. That's the best case. Let's be honest.
Well, and it doesn't. The one thing that bugged me is I'm like, it didn't really. Didn't really.
It didn't take the erotic turn that you wanted it to.
No,
it
did. Started, they just yeah, started down that road.
It did. Started that. It was going really Antonio Villa-Boas. What's his name?
Yeah, the guy that bangs aliens. Villa Boas. Yeah,
Villa-Boas. Yeah, it was going that way, and then I was like, oh yeah, and then it went superpower. But I was like, it doesn't really. We don't know much about what powers other than he said it increased. So it was like, I was like, what could he do? What near the end before he disappears? What were his abilities? Like, we know he could, he had UFOs, but like, what was he physically doing? Teleport. Yeah, that's
instant transmission. Cool,
yeah, that's pretty cool. Anyways, we got a theory of the week. We keep forgetting.
I know, I got one
for the show.
I got one. I'm impressed. He's got one. Yeah. Theory of the week is James Kelly. James Kelly was actually able to find out that Brayden moonlights as Zuron the Enchanter in the game of fucking Magic because he found his card and it is fucking the same face and everything.
Who told him that? How do you find that
out? I don't know, but it's fucking perfect.
How do you know?
Yeah. That's some insider information.
Because you would wear this outfit too.
I saw that. Doesn't it kind of look like a me and Dan mix?
That's what I said. I was like, it's like if Dan and Brayden did the fusion dance. Because
I saw that someone was saying Brayden. I was like, I see Dan. And then as I looked longer, I was like, oh, I see me too. Yeah, weird.
I like it.
Can you pin that to the top of the page in the Facebook group? If you're looking for it, that's where it's going to be.
Well, you're asking the wrong guy, but somebody else will figure that out.
Brayden's going to pin it there. So if you're looking for it, that's where it's going to be. There's the card on the live stream. That does fusion dance.
I was like, this Brayden Dan did this fucking fusion dance. Oh. But I do lean more towards Brayden.
It doesn't look like a very powerful card, though.
It's the eyebrows.
Well, I am summoning butterflies.
Yeah. That was perfect. And bubbles in the background. Like,
So it's not even a crystal ball. I've caught butterflies in a bubble.
That's good.
That's good.
Very powerful magic you got going there.
Yeah.
So, James Kelly, you are the theorist of the week.
That's good.
Yeah. Boom. And if you're not supporting the show already and you want early access to the case files, ad-free, all the bonus stuff, you got to go to alientheorist.com. Support your boys. Support your favorite show. Keeps the show running. Keeps the lights on. We appreciate it. This week's newest supporters, we got Bloodline Chaos. Oh, wait. Brayden, you read this top one.
Yeah, I was like, it's still, well, you want to finish the top ones? I'll read the bottom ones.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll change it up. Danny Ayala, Bryant Brown, J.R. Moreno, and Darius W.
And now we got a big old pledge by Willie Fister Gash, Seth Miller, Francisco Guzman, Taryn 3, big old pledge by Lane Mendenhall, and a $5 pledge by Rodrigo Diaz.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for supporting the show. Helps keep the lights on. We know in this economy, it's tough to support your boys, but every little bit helps. Thank you for supporting what we do.
Trying to find Brayden's transition into an erotic alien fan fiction author. Yep. We need money to publish his first book.
Yeah.
The Tentacles That Love Me.
It's in pre-production right now.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after.
We got a good, he's got a couple pages done. Well, anyway,
they're stuck together.
Help out if you can, because like Brayden said, you help keep the lights on and his lights aren't on, as you can tell.
So. Yeah, that's all right. There's not enough pledges for me to warrant me turning the lights back on. And that isn't because I'm trying to grow out my hair and the top lights really reveal my skin. That's not why.
What are you doing? shave that wispy fucking chemo shit off your head.
If you want to see Brayden's extensive collection of octopus.
Yeah, see, even the dark isn't high enough.
So you have to get the lights on.
Get rid of it. Just trim her down.
Leave it. I think it looks cool, buddy.
I think it looks cool too. Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Hey, that's the kind of support friends you give each other.
Look good until you come across a strong wind.
I'm a fan of the comb over. Just do it.
I'm just bringing it back. Yeah. I'm bringing it back. Like it. Listen, I see old guys with hair that's thin and it looks fine. So I think I'm just going to be an old guy with thin hair.
Yeah, but you have fucking black hair and a white ass head. Like he just glows.
Yeah, but I'm working on, buddy, I got a tan. I got a tan.
He's working on dyeing his skull,
it's
okay?
It's just going to get, you're going to be looking like fucking Baron Corbin. Like it's not a good look. Know what I get
wish?
Rid of it.
Hold on. I wish, hold on. I wonder if I can find it in our chat. I wonder if we'll talk before we, hold on. I'll show it now. I sent Andrew a picture of myself in the pool and I said, fuck you, buddy. My hairline's fine. But I Photoshopped my hair. on the phone. Let's see if I can find it. I think it's in, I think I said it to Andrew.
Yeah, you definitely did. It's a good look.
Yeah.
It looks like Doc Rivers.
I think it, hold on, let's see if I can find it here. There's so much dumb shit in this chat.
Yeah, it's 90% dumb shit.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll show it on After Hours for those of you, and maybe I'll post it later if I can find it. But as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
See you in After Hours.